Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
I want to wish you all a very happy new year. I pray that 2022 will be better for you than 2021. I pray that 2022 will be your best year yet. But no one really knows what's going to happen in 2022, right? I just do know this, though. I know that God's grace is going to be enough for you no matter what. I know His mercies are going to be new for you every morning. Amen? And that's all we can count on. And we believe that God is guiding us and directing us. And if we open our ears and our hearts and listen to Him, I believe 2022 is going to be a great year for all of us. All right. And with that, we want to share this one-off message that we are calling Rules for the Road. If you are driving, you know that there are rules on the road that you need to follow in order for you to reach your destination quickly and safely. So we're going to tap on that analogy and apply it to life, because life is like traveling on a road, right? You know you need to follow some signs in life if you want to arrive at your destination quickly and safely. However, life is a little bit more complicated than driving. You see, we are all born, come equipped with rear view mirrors, but what we don't come equipped with is a reverse. Am I right? There's no do-over in life. You can only live your 20s once. Some of you look into the rearview mirror and you said to yourself, man, I wish I could redo my 20s again, but you cannot. You cannot redo your 20s. You cannot redo your 30s, your 40s. You cannot redo your first marriage. You cannot raise that child of yours again. You only have one shot at life. But unfortunately for some of you, you look way too much into the rearview mirror and you spend a lot of time regretting over some of the decisions that you made, and you are just spending too much time filled with regrets in your life. Well, just like in driving, it's not good for you to keep looking into your rearview mirror all the time. You need to look forward. In life, it's the same thing. Don't spend too much time regretting over past decisions. The most important thing is, where are you going now? Where do you want to go now? Because this is what I believe, okay? It doesn't matter if you are a Christ follower or not. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. We all want to get our future right, right? We all want to get our future right. Maybe you're saying, but Daniel, I'm not really much of a planner. I don't really plan. I'm the sort of person who anything goes, where the road leads me, so-called, using the same analogy again. Well, maybe you'll be surprised to find out about this, but I'm much like you. I actually don't plan a lot in life. I don't like planning. I'm not into micromanaging. I do have high-level goals for my family. I do have high-level goals for the church and all that. But like many of you, I'm not much of a planner. But I'll tell you this. No matter if you're a planner or not, we all want to get our future right. None of you plan for your children to hate you, right? That's the future that you don't want. You want some kind of future with your children. None of you plan to be in debt for the rest of your life. You have some sort of financial dream, some sort of financial goal for yourself. So it doesn't matter if you're a planner or not, I can guarantee you, we all want to get our future right, whatever right looks like for you. And that's why we do this one-off message, because we believe there are some signs along the way that if you pay attention to these signs, you will get to your future. You will get to your destination faster and safer. All right? So if you're taking notes, get ready. Rule number one is this. Don't travel alone. Don't travel alone. I love doing road trips. I counted this year, or last year, this is a new year already, I forgot. Last year in 2021, I've done at least 3 or 4 road trips with my best friend. His name is Grant, And I just love doing road trips with him. I love traveling with him. He's my accountability partner. And the reason why I love spending time with him in these road trips is because he understands me. He's also a fellow pastor in the city, so we understand each other's pain. When we talk about you guys, especially the bad ones, like, oh, yeah, I have that one too in my church. Yeah, we do. We all have those people in our church. So, you know, pastors are people too. And it's good. It's good to be able to share a journey with someone who holds the same value as you do. I remember recently I went to Margaret River because I had to do a wedding for Ben and Caitlin, one of our staff here. And I had to travel alone because I had to do rehearsal beforehand. And man, it was not fun, hey. Driving from here to Margaret River by yourself is not fun. I tried to entertain myself playing all the 80s music and like, ah, scream and shout, singing along. But, you know, it was only fun for about 5 minutes. And after that, it wasn't much fun. See, we're not designed to travel alone in life. But here's the deal. This is where a lot of people make mistakes. And I think this is worth coming to church for. All right? Even though we know, most of us, instinctively, even though you're not a believer in God maybe, but instinctively you know you're not designed to be alone in this world. Maybe some of you are tempted to be isolated, you know, because of the hurt, because of your personality. You say to yourself, I don't need anybody. I just want to live my life alone. Everybody just leave me alone. Let me tell you, if you think that, get as far away as possible that thought from your mind, because you are not designed to live alone, all right? However, who you go with in life, who you share with in life, right, is very, very important. And this is the mistake that a lot of people make, that we all gravitate toward acceptance. All of us. All of us gravitate toward acceptance. Let me see here. It doesn't work. Okay, here we go. You know, acceptance is such a draw, isn't it? Acceptance is such a magnet that can pull us in, but before we know it, it could actually be a trap. This is so important. Yes, we are attracted to acceptance, but you don't have to share life with the first people who accept you. That might be a trap. In 1976, I shared this story before, but in 1976, a young girl by the name of Lynette Fromm, she burst onto every page in the United States as she attempted to assassinate President Ford in 1976. And when the investigators found out about who she was, it turns out that she was a disciple or a follower of Charles Manson. If you don't know anything about Charles Manson, he was this crazed killer with lots of faithful followers, faithful disciples. And not too long after, news agencies all over the world tried to find out the background story of Lynette Fromm. Her nickname is Squeaky. So they found out about her, and it turns out that she came from a small town. She was not really accepted in her small town, not accepted in her family. So she traveled across the United States, and she arrived in California. She met with Charles Manson, who promised to accept her and to take care of her. And then she just decided she was willing to die and give her life to Charles Manson. When the interviewer asked her, why? Why would you give your life for someone such as Charles Manson? And her reply is scary. This is what she said, and I quote, whoever loves me first can have my life. Whoever loves me first can have my life. You see, we all gravitate toward acceptance. It is such a magnet. It's such a draw. But be careful who you allow into your inner circle. Just because you are accepted first by this group of people, by this individual, it doesn't mean you need to share life with them. This is especially important in the transitions of life. If you just move to a new city, if you just accept a job, you move to a new school, you know, be careful. You don't necessarily have to spend time with people who share the same background as you, you know. Oh, we like the same songs. Man, we are partners in life. We go to the same restaurants. Man, just because you go to the same restaurants, just because you like the same song, just because you come from the same generation, just because you come from the same city, same country, it doesn't mean you have to allow them into your inner circle, All right? This is the principle that I want you to learn. Look for people who share your values in life. They may not share the same restaurants that you like. They may not like the same music you do. That's okay. Those are secondary, right? But you want to allow only people who share the same values as you in your inner circle, because these are the people who can help you to be accountable. These are the people who can spur you along to help you get to your destination, to help you get to your hopes and dreams in life. We all know this to be true, isn't it? Who we spend time with, who we travel with, using our analogy again, determines the direction and the quality of our lives, right? And in case you're wondering, for those of you parents with kids in the Next Gen Ministry, this is the principle that we keep teaching our children over and over and over again. We don't use the same phrase exactly. We say, your friends determine the direction and the quality of your life. We keep saying that to the people, to the kids in transit, in upstreet, in the Rocks Youth. Hey, your friends determine the direction and the quality of your life. Your friends determine the direction and the quality of your life. We teach that to our children over and over again because we believe this is such an important principle, isn't it? The writer of Proverbs put it this way: whoever walks with the wise become wise. Whoever means whoever. That means this is a universal principle that applies to everybody. Whoever walks with the wise will eventually, automatically, over time, become wise themselves, right? What is wise? Wise means knowing that life is connected. Wise means knowing that your life cannot be seen in isolation. Wise means you know that what you did yesterday shows up in your today, and what you do today will show up in your tomorrow. That's wise, all right? And if you spend time with people who know this and apply this in their lives, you automatically, over time, will become wise yourself. So that's why it's so important for every single one of us to be careful who we allow in our inner circle. You know, we are designed to live in a community, as I said, right? So there are acquaintances, there are friends, there are close friends, and there are people whom you allow in your inner circle. You gotta be careful who you allow, because if you spend time with the wise, you will become wise. But, listen, the opposite is true as well. But the companion of fools, who are fools? That's the opposite of the wise, right? The fools are the unwise. The fools are people who live their lives carelessly. They live their lives without care. They think that what they do today will have no effect on their tomorrow. So they just live anyhow. That's why they are fools. And if you live your life, if you spend too much time with fools, the result is, this is so interesting, you don't necessarily become a fool yourself. You see, you expect that from the writer of these Proverbs, right? Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will become a fool. That's what you expect. But it's actually much worse. The companion of fools will suffer harm. You may not become a fool yourself, but you will suffer harm as a result. I mean, you've read some, you know, news probably about some teenagers who steal their parents' car and they drive, and one of the teenagers drink and drive and they hit a tree and everybody in the car died, right? You might be in the passenger seat, or maybe your teenager is in the passenger seat. Maybe your teenager will not drive drunk themselves, but when you spend time, the companion of fools can cause you harm in life. So you better be careful. We keep telling our teenagers, we keep telling our children, be careful who you spend time with, because the more you spend time with people who are foolish, people who don't understand that there is a consequence in life, they could suffer harm, all right? So it's very important for us. We need to have a companion as we travel this life. You're not designed to travel alone, for sure, but be careful whom you allow in your life. And rule number two is an offshoot of rule number one. Rule number two is this: don't pick up strangers along the way. Don't pick up strangers along the way. Who are the strangers? What is a stranger? A stranger is someone who is strange, right? Maybe you're thinking, But that's you, Daniel. You're strange. I'm strange. We're all strange. Okay, let me redefine it. A stranger is someone who is stranger than you. Okay? Someone who is stranger than you. I'm just going to move on very quickly from this point, but it's a very important point. I just want to ask you a question. Do you allow strangers in your journey? Do you allow people in your life that cause you harm? Do you allow people, maybe if you want to be honest today, do these people cause you more and more to be unhealthy? Do you allow people in your life that undermine you, undermine your faith, chipping away at your value, maybe slowly or maybe quickly? If you allow them in your life, man, you got to drop them off somewhere, all right? Don't allow strangers in your life. Maybe you're thinking, but Daniel, aren't we told by Jesus to love everybody? Didn't Jesus tell us to love our enemies, that we need to be patient with them, we need to be kind to them and all that? For sure, okay? I'm not saying to you that you need to ignore them and all that. Be kind to them, for sure. Forgive them, you know, be patient with them, for sure. But here's the test, and I keep telling young people this as well, so young people listen, but older people don't learn as well, so older people need to learn as well. If you spend time with people, right, and they don't change over time, but you become worse and worse, what that means is God loves them, but you cannot handle them. Let me say it again. If you spend time with people in the hope of changing them, you want to be a Jesus for these people, all right? But over time, they're not changing, but you are changing for the worse. That means, yes, God loves them, but you cannot handle them. That means you need to drop them off and you need to continue on your journey ahead, all right? You need to pray for them. Maybe there will be a time, there will be a point where you will be stronger and you can handle them a little bit better. Maybe that's a conversation for a different time. But if you allow strangers in your life that erode into your values, that erode into what you believe, you know, they undermine your hopes and dreams, man, you need to let them go. If you can't be yourself amongst them, or you have to be a different person with one group and a different person with another group, that means that those are strangers to you, all right? Let me ask you, would you allow your friend to trash your car? You wouldn't, would you? You wouldn't allow your friend to trash your car. Why would you allow them to trash your life? Why would you allow them to undermine you? You don't want to do that, so don't pick up strangers along the way. Number three, rule number three, moving right along. Choose a destination and borrow a map. Choose a destination and borrow a map. Here's the deal with life. You will arrive at a destination, all right? The win here is to arrive at the destination on purpose. Everybody arrives somewhere in life, but very few people arrive somewhere on purpose. I want you to think about this with me for a second, all right? For those of you who especially think you're not a planner and you don't really care about where you're going and all that, let me remind you that actually you do care because of this, okay? Whether you care about where you're going or not, listen, you will arrive somewhere, correct? It doesn't matter whether you plan it or not. As long as you are breathing, as long as you are living, you will arrive somewhere in life. My question to you is, why not make it a destination that you like? Why not make it a destination that you really want to go to? Because if you don't determine, if you don't choose your destination, other people will choose it for you. Your situation, the circumstances of life will choose it for you. Why would you allow others to choose a destination that you don't like? Why not decide right now, hey, I want to go here. Maybe you don't really know yet how to get there, but that's a matter. We're talking about destination first now. You need to choose a destination, all right? And here's the deal. You need to know also, after you choose a destination, because life is long, all right? Well, it actually can be short, can be long, depending on how you see it. But just like a long journey, you can divide your life into different legs, different sections, if you like, all right? At this particular phase of your life, at this particular season of your life, Where do you want to go? Maybe you're not a long-range thinker or planner. That's fine. Just at this season of life, young adults, where do you want to go next? You want to get married? That's good. You want to graduate uni? That's good. Because remember, life is connected, right? Just think about, in this season of life, where do I want to go? After you decide your destination, the next thing is, you need to know the direction how to get there. Because the principle of the path says this, and this is very important. We've taught this before, but this is so important, all right? This is worth coming to church for. The principle of the path is this. It is the direction, not the intention, that will determine your destination, right? It is where you are going is your direction, not your intention, that determines your destination. Let me give you an example. Say after church today, you want to go to Joondalup, all right? So you headed to the freeway and you start driving south on the freeway. Joondalup is north, in case you're new to Perth, all right? So you get on the freeway. Instead of driving north, you drive south. Your intention is to go to Joondalup. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how strong you intend to go to Joondalup. It doesn't matter how much you trust God. It doesn't matter how much you pray, God, please take me to Joondalup. But if you're driving south, you're going to see Pastor Gordon in Baldivis, right? And he's preaching the same message as me right now. Let me tell you that. It doesn't matter how strongly your intention is. It doesn't matter how much you trust God, how much you pray. It is not that. Maybe prayer does help. Maybe in prayer, God will tell you, hey, son, wrong direction, turn around. But unless you turn around, right, it is not that. It is your direction that will determine your destination. My question to you is, do you know you're going in order to reach your destination? That's why the second part of this principle, the second part of this rule is very important. Choose a destination and borrow a map, all right? Borrow someone's map, borrow someone's iPhone, borrow someone's GPS, because it is important for you to know how to get there. I remember one time I was driving and my phone battery was dead and I got lost. I really didn't know where to go. I got no cables to charge my phone and all that. It was really, really bad. Now, the thing is this. In life, you don't live long enough to make all the mistakes in the world. You don't live that long to make all the mistakes in the world. And let me tell you, we're going to keep making mistakes in this world. Trust me. I'm going to keep making mistakes. You're going to keep making mistakes. But that's fine. That's just part of life. But my point is this. You don't have enough years in your life to make all the mistakes in the world. And you can actually find a way to not make all the mistakes in the world. How? By borrowing someone's map, by talking to someone who's been there before, by listening to someone who's been to the destination that you want to go, someone who's been to some places that you don't want to go. You want to take a page from their book. You want to be humble and listen and learn from them. All right? Don't ask them to be your mentor. You know, a lot of young people especially make a mistake. I need a mentor in my life. Well, you do, but you need more than just one mentor. You need like maybe 5 or 6 mentors. You need a mentor in the area of spirituality. You need a mentor in the area of finance. You need a mentor in the area of relationship maybe. You know, there's not one person who can be all. That person is God, all right, or Jesus. But there's not one person, not your pastor, not your teacher, not your parent. They don't know everything about life, okay? So just talk to someone that you trust, someone that you know, and tell them this. Hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? I have 3 questions to ask you. Can I buy you lunch? Because I have some very important questions that I want to ask you. Trust me, more likely than not, they will say yes to you. Because people always respond to people who are humble, people who want to learn. Okay? So you need different mentors in your life. By the way, mentors don't need to be people who live in the same city as you. Nowadays, with Zoom, with Skype, they can be anybody. Some authors that you like can be your mentor by reading their materials. You know, you learn from them, you learn from their mistakes, you learn from their successes. So make sure if you want to grow, keep reading, keep learning. These are the map that we need to borrow in order for us to reach our destination quickly and safely. Have you heard about the Vernon Law? Dr. Vernon Law says this: experience is a hard teacher because she gives the test first and the lesson afterward. All right? Again, you don't live long enough to do all the tests and fail all the tests and then learn the lesson after. What you want is to learn the lesson first, and then you can pass all the tests, correct? Or most of the tests. You see, that's why you need to humble yourself and learn from others. Learn from your pastors, learn from your teachers, learn from your parents, learn from people who've been there, learn from people who made mistakes. You can always learn from anybody. If you're humble enough, another thing with humility is this: God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. All right? If you borrow someone's map, read your Bible. There's a lot of useful instruction in the Bible. Proverbs especially, 31 Proverbs, one for every day. You will become wise as you learn the mistakes of Solomon, the mistakes of people who are mentioned in the proverb. All right? Proverbs 19 verse 20 says this: listen to counsel and accept discipline. See, a lot of people today, they don't want to learn from people. They don't want to be disciplined. They don't want to humble themselves and realize, hey, I do make mistakes. I need someone to point them out to me. All right? So listen to counsel, accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. So that's rule number three. Rule number four, very quickly, we're getting there. Pay attention to the signs. Pay attention to the signs. Now, the signs are there when you're driving to keep you safe and to keep people on the road safe, all right? I remember when I first drove in Perth. I come from Jakarta. It's a big city. And if you've never been to Jakarta, you need to know this. There are no traffic rules in Jakarta, okay? Or in Bangkok, or in some parts of the world. If you see three lanes in Jakarta, that means you can fit six cars on those lanes, right? In fact, if you don't make full use of the three lanes by squeezing six cars, it's going to be more traffic jam. So you want to squeeze as many cars as you can. So there's pretty much no rules when you're driving in these places. By the way, if you're a pedestrian doesn't have the right of way in Jakarta, okay? You can die. Be careful. In Bali, be careful. You can die. Motorist has the right of way. So when I moved to Perth, I had to redo the driving test, the theory, and all that. And I learned that you need to obey traffic laws here, okay? And one of the traffic laws is the school zone, that you need to reduce your speed and obey the speed limit at the school zone. So one time I was driving, it was supposed to be 40, right? So I did 60 or 70, not realizing, not looking. I'm not used to looking at the signs for instruction, you see, even though I know the theory. So I cop this huge fine, all right? And I was so upset. I was like, oh, cursing and swearing, like, oh, you know, I know how to drive. But now looking back, I was glad that I got that fine. I was glad that I learned my lesson, because it could have been a lot worse, right? Could have been a lot worse. It could be way worse. I could have hit a child. I don't know where I end up if I hit a child. And someone's son, someone's daughter might die because of me. So the signs on the roads are there to help keep you safe and the people around you safe as well. My question to you this morning is this: are you paying attention to the signs? Are you paying attention to the signs? All right? You might be very successful at work, but are you paying the signs? What's happening in your family? Do you know what's going on with your children? Do you know what's going on with your husband, with your wife? You may be successful at church, you may be successful everywhere else in life, but relational signs, these are the signs that a lot of people miss. You know, the warning signs are there. You know there's something wrong with your relationship at home, with your children. You know when you come home, they're not excited. You know when they come home, when you come home, they don't really care whether you're home or not. But you don't know how to fix it. You see, that's why a lot of people tend to ignore the signs, because they don't know how to fix them, all right? If your internet is not working, you can fix it. You can find out, you know, why is the cable not tied or something. But a lot of people, when it comes to relational signs, they are oblivious to these signs. shove them under the carpet, and before you know it, you have children who hate you. You don't want that, right? Remember what I said at the beginning? You can't redo your 30s, your 40s. You can't raise your child again. You cannot. So you got to pay attention to the warning signs. They're there to help you. If more than one person come to you and tell you the same thing, don't dismiss them by saying, I don't want you to say that again. That's not true. That's not me. Man, there's got to be some truth if more than one person says the same thing about you. So here's what I want you to do. When you go home, maybe not right away, maybe 1 week after your husband forgets, your wife forgets, ask them, hey, can you tell me, like, what are some signs that I need to be aware of that I may have been blinded? Maybe it's in my blind spot. Can you tell me? Talk to someone whom you trust, who know you well, and ask them, hey, are there any warning signs that I've been ignoring? I've been ignoring these signs. And then these people will tell you probably, I'm glad you asked. Sit down. You need lots and lots of coffee, let me tell you. All right? So pay attention to the signs. Listen to Proverbs again. The prudent see danger and they take refuge. They don't complain. They see danger, they take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. If you are the only person paying the penalty, that's fine. But the problem is, if you ignore these signs, most of the time, it's not just you who pay the penalty. It's people that you love that pay the penalty as well. It's your wife, it's your husband, it's your children, it's your church, it's the people that you care about that pay the penalty for you ignoring all these signs in your life. All right? That's number four. And number five, last but not least, don't carry unnecessary baggage. Don't carry unnecessary baggage. How many of you is a light traveler? You travel light? How many of you pack more than you need over the holidays? Come on. More hands. Man, every single time I go on holiday, I always pack 4 or 5 books. Never read any one of them. Always. Every single time I go to Bali, 3 books, 4 books, never once I read any of those books. And the problem is, I keep bringing them. Every single time I go somewhere, it makes me feel good to bring something. At least the intention is there, right? The intention is there. But remember, it's not the intention, it's the direction. Anyway, so don't carry unnecessary baggage in your life. Some of you, until right now, until today, you still carry those unnecessary baggage in your life. That anger, that resentment, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, they still carry with you. Now it's 2022. Come on, people. It's 2022, and you still carry that baggage that weighs down on your soul. And you're wondering, like, why am I not happy? Why I can't move on? Hell, that's because you carry unnecessary baggage in your life. Amanda Palmer on the Tim Ferriss podcast says this: if you don't deal with your demons, they go into the cellar of your soul and lift weights. You got to tell the demons in your life, hey, demons, it's 2022. The gym is closed. I don't want you to get stronger in the cellar of my soul, right? You got to make up your mind once and for all to let go of excess baggage in your life. Final verses for the day. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let another year pass by and you still bear resentment. Do not give the devil a foothold. Do not allow the devil to be a passenger in your car, in your journey. Get rid of some bitterness. Maybe you were able to get rid of a bit of bitterness, but you still carry some leftover with you. No, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice, not just one kind, every form of malice. And here's what you need to do instead. Be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, not because they deserve to be forgiven, but just as in Christ, God has forgiven you. All right? Now, before you complain to me, I know how difficult it is to forgive. I preached a lot of messages on forgiveness, and I couldn't do it myself. I find it so difficult to forgive. All right? So I understand. But let me tell you, if you want to reach somewhere in life, I cannot afford to keep carrying this excess baggage in our lives. You need to get rid of it, right? The sooner you get rid of it, the better off you will be. God doesn't want you to carry those excess baggage. If you find it difficult for you to forgive, maybe you think, they don't deserve my forgiveness. I want them to pay for their sins. Well, I'm not talking about whether they deserve it or not. We don't deserve forgiveness from God, do we? So we forgive people, we release them of their debt, not because they deserve it, but because in Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven ourselves, right? We who don't deserve forgiveness receive this free forgiveness from Jesus. That's why we need to learn, that's the key word, learn to forgive one another, let go of the past, and move on so that you can reach your destination.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.